Thank you, Nick, very much. Thank you. And George, thank you as well. Well, morning, church. We've had some amazing words this morning, and I pray you heed those words. And it's really important that you do that. Really important. Dare I say, I've known people that haven't, and it's a disastrous, it's absolutely disastrous. Don't be one of those people. Well, we're going to be looking at Daniel. And I wish I could say this aspect of Daniel, but it's just Daniel. It's just the life and times of Daniel. And so we'll see where we go with this. Time's going to be against us. We'll see how far we get. Daniel's an amazing man. He's quite staggering. We see him as a Daniel and Lions, then it's good Sunday school story material, isn't it? The whole of Daniel is good Sunday school material. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, the fiery furnace. The wonderful stories. But behind the stories is a man. Behind the stories are real people like me and you. And I just want to unpack some of that. And I just pray as I unpack some of this that you can put yourself in the story, that you can see how the stories relate to you and what might be happening in your life might be similar to what happened to Daniel. And how do we handle it? Well, Daniel is an incredible role model to see how we handle certain situations. I was, just because of where the worship had gone, again, was thinking a little bit about trouble and that we have trouble in life, don't we? Trouble comes upon us, good and bad. It comes upon us. It is part of life. You cannot avoid trouble. You cannot avoid hardship. If you want to do that, good luck. You can't do it. You're going to be wasting your time to avoid it. It is how we handle these things. But I did think that miracles are usually born out of trouble. If you think about all the miracles in God's word, the majority of miracles are born out of trouble. And God loves to, in a miraculous way, rescue his people through trouble, or bring them through, rescue them from, bring them through often rather than rescue them from. But miracles are born out of trouble. So if you're in that place of trouble and hardship and persecution and affliction, like has been said, don't give up. Don't give up. Do not take your eyes off the one who is the miracle-working God and who can deliver you and who can sustain you through difficulties and hardships and bring you into a new place. So let's look at Daniel 1. I don't know if you're going to be able to read it. Is it too small for you? Oh, great. Okay. So I'm going to be skipping about. This is the New Living Translation, so it's a kind of paraphrase. It's not. It's just the Bible that I've been looking at the minute. So Daniel, during the third year of the king of how do you pronounce that? I can't do it. Every time it doesn't work for me. You're going to have to say it. Whenever it comes up, Joachim, his reign in Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and besieged it with his armies. The Lord gave him victory over king of Judah. When Nebuchadnezzar returned to Babylon, there's lots of other names. This could be quite a comedy later. When he returned to Babylon, he took with him some of the sacred objects from the temple of God and placed them in his treasure house of his God in the land of Babylonia. Then the king ordered who is in charge of the palace officials, to bring to the palace some of the young men of Judah's royal family and other noble families who had been brought to Babylon as captives. And this is where Daniel is launched. His land has been besieged by an enemy, and he has been taken into captivity to Babylon. So I don't know. Did his family get taken as well? We don't know. I don't know who went with him. He had some friends. It says that later on. But we don't know. This wasn't a happy event in his life. Israel had sinned. They had walked away from God. They were not following God's commands. And God had decreed what would happen to them if they did that. It's all prophesied. In many books it's talked about. And Daniel is in the kind of, as a young man, is caught up in the punishment from God on his people for disobeying his rules and regulations and walking away from him. But there is an order, a decree from the king, from Nebuchadnezzar, to select strong, healthy, good-looking young men and make sure that they're well-versed in every branch of learning, are gifted with knowledge and good sense, and have the poise needed to serve the royal palace. So this captive, Daniel, and his friends, they get yanked out of their country, they get taken to a foreign land, away from their religion, away from their God, the God, into a culture that worships all kinds of different gods. And yet he's thrust actually into an incredibly privileged position. He is chosen, he's X-factored in to the most privileged position. He is in a race to become the best of the best, really, and to be, if he's successful, to be in the king's presence of this foreign land. This king Nebuchadnezzar, he is huge. His kingdom is absolutely massive. He basically owns the world. And Daniel, this captive, instead of being imprisoned or made a slave or in that kind of a bondage, he's brought into this place where if he's successful, he will serve this most high king. He will be favored by this most high king. Teach these young men the languages and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily ration of the best food and wine from his own kitchens. They were to be trained for a 3-year period, and then some of them, would be made his advisors in the royal court. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were 4 of the young men chosen from the tribe of Judah. The chief official renamed them with these Babylonian names. Daniel was called... dearie me, I'm too nervous. This is crazy. Belshazzar. Hananiah was called Shadrach. Mishael was called Meshach. Azariah was called Abednego. And that's what we know them as. We keep referring to Daniel as Daniel, but the others are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Do you know how old he was? He's 15 years old. Okay? Who's 15? Give us a wave. Anyone 15? He's 15 years old. All right? Remember that, because this is for you guys, okay? 15 years old. He's ripped out of his country, out of his culture, out of his friendships. He's taken into captivity. Then he's suddenly assigned, because he's well, good-looking, he's hot, he's fit, just like all you lot, and he's talented, he's educated, they can see something in him, and he's put in the best school, the best universities, and he's given one-to-one tuition in cultural things of the Babylonians, in language, in everything, to accelerate his training up so that he could serve the King of Kings. He's given the best food, measured the best food. Every lunchtime, it's like, oh, shall I have salmon? Shall I have caviar? What would I like today? Who knows? The best wine from the king's table is afforded to you. But Daniel made up his mind not to defile himself by eating the food and the wine given to them by the king. He asked the chief official for permission to eat other things instead. My lord the king has ordered that you eat this food and wine, the official said. If you become pale and thin, this is Nebuchadnezzar, okay? He is massive. He's not to be messed with. He would see himself as a god. You do not question Nebuchadnezzar, right? So his official says, if you become pale and thin compared to the other youths your age, I'm afraid the king will behead me for neglecting my duties. That's what this guy's like. 15 years old, and Daniel is saying, I'm going to stand up to the most powerful person in the world. I've come from a country that has disobeyed God's laws and has walked out on what God's decrees were. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm in captivity. And 15 years old, I'm ready to say, I stand up. I'm going to stand up. I'm not going to bow. I'm going to stand up. I just think that's just crazy, isn't it? I wonder what you would do. Because actually, what an opportunity. Is it party time? Is it like, wow, everything's been laid before me. Everything. I can leave all the past behind. I can have a real party here. This is incredible. What an opportunity. Best food, cool education. You know, if I'm smart, I'm going to be serving the king for life. I'm going to be rich. I'm going to be respected. I'm going to be in a position of authority over people. All I need to do is keep the king sweet. That's all I need to do. And it sounds like day one, you're saying, oh, okay, it's time to stand up. I'm not going to eat the food. Would you do that? Or do you want the party? Are you going to eat the food? Or do you want the party? Are you going to bow your knee to culture, to pressure? Or are you going to stand up for what's right and what's true and what your God says? And it is at the penalty of death. It is at the penalty of death. You don't cross Nebuchadnezzar. 15 years old. You see, the food would have contradicted some of the things that Daniel could eat in the Mosaic law. It might have involved meats that he knew weren't permitted. And although there wasn't too much regulation over the drink, both the food and the drink would have been offered to idols beforehand, as was the custom of the Babylonians. And the meat, the wine, would have been offered up to idols. So if Daniel partook of that, he was saying, he was coming into agreement to false gods. And he said, I can't do that. There is one God alone that I serve. And we're going to skip because you know the story. Are you here for the party and not the problem? The blessing and not the burden? Can God trust you with trouble, with tough times? Can he trust you with the pressure, the trouble, the conflict? Because there will always be pressure, trouble and conflict in your lives. Can he serve you? Have you considered him? He is faithful to me. How about her? You can test her. She'll not deny me. Risk taker. Are you going to be the one that carries the badge, risk taker? In John, the Lord Jesus speaks of his followers being in the world but not of the world. Are we going to be in the world but not of the world? Or are we going to say it's so much easier to be of the world? I'm going to partner with the world because then I get respect, then everything's good for me, people like me, I have a good time. Or are you going to say no? I'm going to hold to what my Lord, my God says. When the 3 years training period ordered by the king was completed, no one impressed him as much as Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they were appointed to his regular staff of advisors. In all matters requiring wisdom and balanced judgment, the king found that the advice of these young men to be 10 times better than that of all the magicians and enchanters in his entire kingdom. Age 15. Hats off, or age 18, hats off to Daniel and his friends. So we're going to skip to Daniel 2. And Nebuchadnezzar, same guy, he has a dream of a statue, and I'm not going to go into all of that, okay, but it disturbed him greatly. He's asleep, he's a dream, it's probably at night. He is disturbed so greatly that he calls all his enchanters and sorcerers and astrologers and magicians, and he demands that they tell him the meaning of his dream. Not only that, he demands that they tell him the dream first and then the meaning. He won't tell them the dream. So they're all really stuffed, and it is on penalty of death. He's saying, if you cannot interpret this dream, then you aren't real, so I'm going to kill you all. And they say, there isn't a man alive who can tell your majesty his dream. And no king, however great and powerful, has ever asked such a thing of any magicians, enchanters, or astrologers. This is an impossible thing the king is requiring. No one except the gods can tell you the dream, and they do not live among people. Oh, how wrong was he? They do not live among people. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. So Daniel, the chief officials come to Daniel to arrest Daniel. Daniel doesn't know what's going on, so he finds out what's going on, and he requests more time. He says, give me some time. I will find the meaning out. I will. And I will let the king know what the dream means. And then Daniel goes home. And he tells his three friends what's happening. This is Daniel 2:17. And he urges them to pray that God would give them the secret, so that they would not be executed along with the other wise men of Babylon. And God does. He gives Daniel this. He is 17. 17, 18. Who's 17, 18? Anyone? They're probably all at you. Yep. 17, 18, guys. and the fate of hundreds of people rests in your hands, including your own life and the life of your friends. It is over. It is decreed. The king is going to have you ripped to shreds. What would you do? Would you run? Would you try and hide, escape? Would you run to the king straight away and beg mercy? Fall on your knees, beg mercy? Daniel goes home and he tells his friends and he says, guys, we need to pray. On your knees, guys. We need to pray. And God gives him the answer. And Daniel says this, and I think it's so profound. Praise the name of God forever and ever, for he alone has all wisdom and power. He determines the course of world events. He removes kings and sets others on the throne. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the scholars. He reveals deep and mysterious things and knows what lies hidden in darkness, though he himself is surrounded by light. I thank you and praise you, God of my ancestors, for you have given me wisdom and strength. You have told me what I asked of you and revealed to us what the king demanded. What a wise thing to say. What an amazing statement about our God. Daniel says to the king, there are no wise men. There are no wise men, King Nebuchadnezzar, enchanters, magicians, or fortune tellers who can tell the king such things. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the future. Now I will tell you your dream and the vision you saw as you lay on your bed. And he saves the day. Amazing. 17 years old. Check this out. This God, Nebuchadnezzar, says the king Nebuchadnezzar bowed to the ground before Daniel and worshipped him. And he commanded his people to offer sacrifices and burn sweet incense before him. The king said to Daniel, truly your God is the God of gods and the Lord over kings, a revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this secret. See, there are kings. There are many kings, but there is one King of Kings. There is one King of Kings. There are many rulers who have authority over huge swathes of land and people, but there is one King that reigns sovereign above all other things. There is one King that reigns above your trouble, that reigns above your problems. There is one King, Jesus Christ, our Lord, the Messiah, Yahweh, reigns above all things. All things. The king appointed Daniel to a high position and gave him many valuable gifts. And at his request, did the same for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We move on, and so does the time. Nebuchadnezzar, again. All right, he's still not quite got this, has he? He's really not got this. He's still puffed up. So he makes a statue 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide of himself. Do you think he's got a problem? I think he might have. And he sets up in the plain Jura and he sends messages and says, everyone, every official, meet here in front of my statue. And at the sound of the horns and the flutes and the zithers and the lyres and the harps and the pipes and the other instruments, bow to the ground and worship the statue, worship King Nebuchadnezzar's statue. Anyone who refuses will be immediately thrown into the fiery furnace. You have got, I would imagine, well, hundreds and hundreds of people, if not thousands of people. Okay, thousands of people. This stonking great statue. Thousands of people waiting in fear and trembling for the musicians to start. And I tell you, you would not hesitate. You would not think, let me see if I can be the last one to, bow the knee. You wouldn't be thinking that. You would be thinking, first note, I am flat on my face. Wouldn't you? There's lots of other exiles. There's lots of other Christians. The music starts. The thousands smack on the floor. I bet you could hear the floor tremble. I bet you could feel it. Three people on their feet. Three people standing there. I reckon 25 to 35, Daniel would have been about that age. We don't know where he was. We would suggest that he actually wasn't in the city at all. He'd been sent somewhere else, and that's why he's not mentioned here. But his three friends, probably the same age, 25, 35, who's in that bracket? Well, that's a bit of a shame. Okay? Yep. Yep. Middle-aged. Three of them on their feet standing when everyone else hits the deck. I don't know if they were together. I don't know if they were spaced out. I don't know if they had a little quick conflab. Are you going to stand? What are we going to do? Or if it was just like, I just know. I cannot bow my knee. I cannot worship this foreign God. I cannot do it. My devotion, my life is in God, the God, the King of Kings. I cannot do it. Everyone falls on their faces and they're standing there. Were they scared? I would think they were very scared. Were they trembling? I would imagine they were trembling so much they almost fell over because of the shakes. They wouldn't bow their knee. Will you bow your knee? Will you bow your knee to stuff? Will you bow the knee to an easy life? It was mentioned this morning. Are you going to bow the knee in your seven-seater? No offense to seven-seaters. Or are you saying, there is one space in that seat next to me, and that is the King of Kings. He is going to be driving my life. No one else. No pressure. No peer pressure. No what I'm going to look like. No what are my friends going to think. No what is going to happen to me. How hot's the furnace? None of that. It's, I'm going to stand on my feet. These guys were respected people. They had good jobs, good positions. They were wise. These were the fittest guys in the land. Were they entrapped by all the material stuff that they had? Were they entrapped by their position and authority? No, they stood on their feet. It's powerful stuff. You know, in business, when we're in business, and you've got to that standing and people admire and respect you, and your boss is saying, you need to do this, this is the next step up the ladder. Who was it? Ollie, I think it was, that was saying about it, or someone said about it. The next step up the ladder. You just got to do this. And you're thinking, that's a compromise. And you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, don't do it. Thinking, God will understand. It's not that bad. You know, it's not a big deal. It's just 2 seconds on my knees. It's not a big deal. What are you going to do? Where are you at? What are you going to do? Are you going to compromise? Or are you going to say, no, if it costs me my life, I will not. If it costs me my job, I will not. If it costs me my reputation, I'm not going to do it. My life is in Christ. I've given him my life. He is the master of my destiny. He is the master of all that I am. Are you here for the party and not the problem? The blessing, not the burden? Have you considered him? He'll be faithful. Have you considered her? She will not let me down. She will not deny my name. It's powerful stuff, isn't it? Then Nebuchadnezzar says at the end of it all, we skip ahead, praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angels to rescue his servants who trusted in him. They defied the king's command and were willing to die rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make this decree. If any people, whatever their race or nation or language, speak a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be torn limb from limb, and their houses will be crushed into heaps of rubble. There is no god, other God who can rescue like this. And then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to even higher positions in the province of Babylon. Oh man, our time is gone. Daniel 6. Daniel and the lion's den. All right? So there's been different things going on. We've come out of Judah. We've been in the kingdom, the Babylonian kingdom. All right? And then there's a big, long story about Nebuchadnezzar. Amazing. There's some other kings thrown in for good measure if you read the book. Daniel's presided over the whole lot in different forms. And now we hit Darius. The Darius the Medes. So the Medes and Persians have overthrown the Babylonians. Okay, so it's a new era. New kingdom. Daniel's still in the mix. And Darius divides the kingdom into 120 provinces. And he appoints princes to rule over each province. And ministers justice and preserve the peace and post taxes and stuff, because his kingdom is huge, it's vast, so he's all over the place. And so he appoints these people, and he chooses Daniel and two others to be above those princes. So the 120 princes, there's three people that are at the very top. Daniel is at the top with those other two, and to supervise the princes, to watch out for the king's interests. maybe to deal with state affairs, maybe to make sure the princes weren't doing anything wrong, maybe to watch that they weren't corrupt, maybe to watch that they weren't mistreating his subjects or fiddling the finances. Yeah? High up position, but one that may not be very good if people are fiddling their finances and are wanting to do stuff wrong and knew the boss won't let them. It's going to be people that are against you because of your goodness. Are the people against you because of goodness? Are the people that are envious of you because of your position and because of how you live your life? Because it's amazing. Jealousy is an incredibly powerful thing. Incredibly powerful. And do you know, people hate good people. It sounds crazy, but they hate good people. Bad people hate good people. All right? You might have people that are really jealous of your positions at work. You know, they nitpick at you. They try and bring you down. They try and make you fail. They try and make you bend the knee to something. They try and make you break and say something that you shouldn't, act in a way that you shouldn't, and they'll be picking at you. And they might want to get you into trouble. Daniel soon proved himself more capable than any of the other administrators and princes because of his great ability. The king made plans to place him over the entire kingdom. He is prime minister. He is above all things in his kingdom. He was a hugely influential political figure, Daniel was. Huge. And yet, if you read the accounts, you know, if you read Daniel, most of it is nothing to do with that. Most of it is about him declaring truths about God and his faith and how we should live our lives. It's not about his position and his power and all the decisions he made. It's nothing to do with that. So the administrators and princes began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling his affairs to try and trip him up because they were jealous. But they couldn't find anything to criticize because he was faithful and honest and always responsible. So they concluded our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be connected with the requirements of his religion. What an amazing thing. And so much glory given to God when we, if we profess to be Christians, if we profess our religious conduct is so inoffensive, it's so pure and blameless that people can't get us on our conduct at all. They can only get us on our faith. What an amazing thing as a glory offering to God if we live our lives in such a way that no one can point the finger at us. They can only point the finger at our faith. That's an incredible thing. The two presidents and the princes go to the king and they hatch this scheme and the king falls for it because of pride. I'm going to skip. But because of pride, or because he thinks, oh wow, people are going to, you know, this is a really good idea. Let everyone bow down to me. Let no one pray to any gods apart from me. And he just loses it for a minute because he's actually quite a good guy, Darius. And he likes Daniel very, very much. He gets trapped. And this group of people that have got it in for Daniel, they hatch this plot. They go to the king. The king passes this stupid law that for 30 days no one can pray to any other god but him. Stupid thing to say, really stupid thing to say. And straight away, what does Daniel do? Does he, because they said they were doing it on behalf of all the administrators, they'd had this big confab, everyone has agreement. Clearly they weren't. Daniel wasn't in agreement. He wasn't even involved. He didn't know. So the top man had been bypassed by this scheme to destroy the top man. That was what it was all about. Does he go run into the king? He's prime minister. He's got the king's ear. Why doesn't he just go and say, king, you know, I hate to say this, but you've made a big mistake here. Or why doesn't he say, okay, well, just lay low. We'll let it pass. What does he do? He goes home. I wonder if it was the same home that he went to see his friends. I wonder if it was the same room that he bowed the knee down as he prayed for deliverance the last time. And what does he do? He goes, as was his custom, and he kneels down on the floor and he prays and gives thanks to God. He opens his windows, as was his custom, and he looks towards Jerusalem, as was his custom, three times every day, morning, afternoon, and night. He would get on his knees and he would pray with his focus on God, Jerusalem, his people, God's people, not his treasures and his achievements and his glory and the fact that he was prime minister. He humbled himself on his knees before the King of Kings, and he prayed for God's people and the rescue of God's people. And he did it. He didn't hide away. He didn't shut the doors this time. He didn't shut the windows. He didn't go out on the balcony and proclaim it. He just did what he always did, on his knees. And you know full well that these guys that were after him were standing right outside the door, looking through the keyhole, and were like, got him, straight in, running off to the king, saying Daniel was, we caught him praying. And the king's devastated because he loves Daniel. And you know the story. Do you know how old Daniel was? When he was thrown in the den of lions. 80. 80 years old. 80, 82. 15. Make your mark. Do not eat the food that is offered to you. 17. Make your mark. Humble yourself before God. Take your problems to him. In trouble, find him. Find what he wants you to do and do it. 25, 35. Do not bow down to the wrong God. Do not be tempted to bow down. Whatever the pressures, whatever it might cost you, don't do it. The other kings that come and go and all the rest of it. You know, there's writing on the wall. There's all kinds of things going on in the middle bit. 50s, 60s, 70s year old. Wherever you are, read the account. 80 years old. 80 years old, and as was his custom, he was on his knees three times a day. I'm not saying this in a bad way, okay? If you're 80, could you wave to me? Anyone in that vicinity? Okay, God bless you. God bless you. If you're in your 70s, do you get on your knees to pray? Can you get on your knees to pray? I don't mean that nastily. Are you up? Are you up when you're 80? You know, do you want to be sipping on a pipe in an armchair when you're 80? Or do you want to be on your knees three times a day with your face set towards your people, praying and beseeching God, hungry for his will in your life? Are you ready to say, I know what is going to happen because I've been told, if I do this, I get chucked into the lion's den. Okay, so be it, Lord. So be it, Lord. I'm on my knees. I'm on my knees. And the story is just stunning. And I'm out of time. Read Daniel. Read Daniel. The purpose of God was advanced hugely. Kingdoms changed. God's people were released in the end from captivity. Amazing stuff. And faithful men to God, lived through good times and prosperity and bad times and trouble and sentence of death, honoring the King of Kings their whole life. Whatever age you are, know who you're bowing down to. Know who you want to bow down to. Do not get caught out. Make your mark when you're young. Do not let it escape from you as you get older and you get material wealth and you get positions and prosperity. And when you're old, do not let age define who you are. Let the King of Kings define who you are and how you handle your affairs. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I just want to read one thing and we'll close. This is in Hebrews chapter 11. It starts from verse 32. And this is the chapter on faith. Right? And at the end of the conclusion of this chapter on faith, it says, well, how much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, of Samuel, and of all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised for them. They shut the mouths of lions. They quenched the flames of fire. They escaped death by the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women receive their loved ones back again from death. But others trusted God and were tortured, preferring to die rather than turn from God and be free. They placed their hope in the resurrection to a better life. Some were mocked and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in dungeons. Some died by stoning and some were sawn in half. Others were killed with the sword. Some went about in skins of sheep and goats, hungry and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world. They wandered over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All of these people we have mentioned received God's approval because of their faith. Yet none of them received all that God had promised, for God had far better things in mind for us that would have also benefited them. For they can't receive the prize at the end of the race until we finish the race. Okay. They were too good for this world. My prayer, through good and bad, is that we would be too good for this world. Amen. Be too good for this world. Know where you belong. Know to whom you belong. Know where your destiny is set. And honour the King of Kings. There is but one King of Kings. Amen. God bless you.